Okay, this coming Shabbos, we're going to get the opportunity to close out the book of Bamidbar as we read Parshios, Matos, and Maaseh. Rav Moshe Wolfson, Shalita, the famous Mashgiach of Torah Vedas, the Rav of Emunas Yisrael and Borough Park, points out that the reading of the Parsha of Nedarim, which opens up in the beginning of Parshios Matos, during the period of the 3 weeks, which happens every single year, seems to be a response to the Gemara in Bava Basra and Daf Ayin Dalet's comment that there was a Basco that declared that, well, I'm in trouble because I swore to create a Golos and now there's nobody around to be Mevato the Neder. Now, our reading of this section during the 3 weeks is a reminder that Hashem's Torah contains exactly this concept, the concept of Heter Nedarim, and it's available to be used even by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so we pray as we read Parshios, Matos, and Maaseh, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes advantage of the Kriya as well and sends us the Geula Shlema. So let's jump right into Parshas Matos, which begins, Ish ki yidor neder la'Hashem, when a man takes a neder or a shvua, to which the Gemara Nedarim on Daf Ches Amar Aleph notes that one's allowed to take a shvua or a neder, well, a person's allowed to take a shvua l'kayim es ha-mitzvah. He's allowed to go ahead and take a shvua to guarantee that he'll be able to do a mitzvah. So now, technically speaking, such a shvua should not be chal, it should not take place, because we're all technically sworn to keep the Torah from our promise at Har Sinai. This is the Gemara's language of being mushba ve'omed me'Har Sinai. Still says the Gemara, it's a good neder because shari leila inish luzruze anafshe. It's good for a person because it inspires a person to stick to his word. Now, why is it okay to do zeros for something that has no value? If the neder doesn't work, why would it be good, or even acceptable at the very least, to take a neder that's useless? Why is it good to do things that are useless? So the stipler of Yisrael Yaakov Kanievsky Zatzal explains that the reason many of us sin is because we fail to see the truth in our actions. Instead, we find reasons to be more heter, to permit ourselves to do something that we know is otherwise wrong. So taking a personal oath to strengthen a mitzvah's observance is a means of saying that despite whatever logic I may employ to erroneously allow myself to do an aveira, I'm doubling down not to use the logic that would get me to do the aveira, and instead stick to the mitzvah. In the continuation of the parasha, we find the concept of hafaras nedarim, and there, in that context, the Torah uses the language v'Hashem yislach la, Hashem should forgive her. Now, elsewhere in the Gemara Nedarim, we discuss the understanding that there are two ways to get out of a neder. One is called a charata, it's having regret over the neder, and the other is called a pesach. So the charata part, how does that work? Why would a charata work to be able to undo a neder? So Shachter Shalita explained to us in the name of Rav Soloveitchik that when one argues that his neder should be expunged, what he's really arguing is that he as a person is a different person from the person who took the neder. The one who took the neder was an angry or depressed individual. There's a similar comment made by the Raivan in Hilchos Shavuos in Perek Vav Halacha Yud Beis. And so now that I'm not angry or depressed, I'm a changed man. And the neder of the person who is angry or depressed shouldn't apply to the person who is now not angry or depressed. This, suggested Rav Soloveitchik, is why a charata should work for a heter. So the truth is that Rav Soloveitchik would also add that this is the reason why we begin the Yom Kippur service with the recitation of Kol Nidre. Sometimes the person who seeks a technicality or a Pesach on the grounds that they thought they would benefit from sin, but it wasn't supposed to happen. So therefore, by definition, let me out of the neder because I thought I'd get somewhere by taking it. And so here's a Pesach. If I would have known this, I wouldn't have taken it. This is, and Rav Schechter would tell us in the name of Rav Soloveitchik, that's like tshuva on technical grounds. And it would affect the strict language of the neder. But tshuva through charata is a totally different process. It also argues that the person is a different person. And so the punishments that are set aside for the person who did the averos should be null to this new person that we are on Yom Kippur, having had charata over that which we have done. Based on this, Rav Soloveitchik explained, it's very easy to understand why we begin the Yom Kippur service with Kol Nidre. What we're trying to say is we are different. We're not the same people. Moshe got it. After the Moshe teaches the Rashi Hamatos, the leaders, about the ideas of Nedarim, we also read about the battle that took place with Midian. And then after the battle, the people separate the spoils of war. And Moshe got very angry at them. And the Gemara tells us that each time Moshe Rabbeinu got angry, and he only got angry three times, his anger caused him to forget a halacha. So Reb Chaim Shmuel Abetz Hatzal explains that this is a normal course of events and not a punishment. Reb Chaim Shmuel Abetz explains that since the study of Torah involves not only the amassing of knowledge, but also the study of Torah is supposed to change the inside of a person. And that Torah can't live in a body that's filled with bad midos. In fact, even the Torah knowledge that's already there in the body runs away when there's bad midos. And the same concept exists in the realm of prophecy. When a Navi is unsettled, he can't serve as a conduit for the spirit of prophecy. And so therefore, he needed, in Elisha's case, when Elisha was out of sorts and upset, he needed to bring forth a menagin to be able to go ahead and calm him down so he could have the spirit of Hashem. At the beginning of Parshas Maaseh, which goes after the section of the Torah about the 2.5 tribes, so at the beginning of Parshas Maaseh, we read about the 42 stops that the Jewish people made on their trip onto their trip up to the land of Israel. And therein, we read about Aaron HaKohen. The Pasuk tells us, Vayal Aaron HaKohen Hor HaHar. Aaron HaKohen went up to Hor HaHar on Rosh Chodesh Av. What does the Torah repeat? The specific information about Aaron's death in the middle of this trip. It doesn't get mentioned that way, and we never find the date. Why is the death of the individual part of the trips of Am Yisrael? Sir Moshe Wolfson explains that Aaron was the physical embodiment of the Kedusha of Am Yisrael. In that regard, he was a human based Amigdash. And this section of the Torah, the section of the 42 stops, highlights the travels during the Galus as the Jews made their way to the land of Israel. And so herein the Torah details the death of Aaron to tell us that his death in context of exile or the traveling is similar to the loss of a Beis HaMikdash and the subsequent exile that took place over there, the wandering Jew was born. And so it belongs in the section that deals with the travels through the desert too, and therefore it is contained in great detail. Towards the end of the parsha, we read about the creation of the Ari Miklat, and we're told, V'krisim lachem arim, you should set up cities of refuge for yourselves. The one who takes a life inadvertently shall run there. And the Gemara Makos notes that the signs to the Ir Miklat were to be established at all intersections, so that whomever was running there shouldn't have to stop. And the Brisker Rav commented that the Torah employs sensitivity to the one who's traveling to Ir Miklat. The Torah recognized that such a man would be in fear of those pursuing him and might not have bothered to get directions. And so considering his fears, the Torah commands us to establish public works projects which included the hanging of signs at each and every intersection so that a person who was running to Ir Miklat wouldn't need to stop and be in fear for a moment longer than necessary. This, of course, says the Brisker Rav, is in stark contrast to the person who's going up to Yerushalayim for Aliyah LeRegel, who doesn't have the sign which way to Jerusalem, because we want him to have to stop and ask for directions. Because if he has to stop and ask for directions, he might get others to travel with him to fulfill that great mitzvah of Aliyah LeRegel. And so although both people are traveling, only the one who is going to Ir Miklat has to travel and find the signs. Torah tells us, "Velo sachanifu es haaretz," you shouldn't bring guilt onto the land in which you are, for the blood will bring guilt onto the land. Now why does the Torah use this unusual expression, "Velo sachanifu" or "lahachnif," to refer to bloodshed? Doesn't the word refer more to the concept of presenting an external appearance that doesn't correspond to inner reality? So Reb Chaim Sabato Shalita, the great Rosh Yeshiva Ma'ale Adumim, noted that the land of Israel is only in its natural state when the people of Israel dwell within the land. But when they desecrate its holy nature through the cardinal sins, including bloodshed, they're having the land act against the nature of the land. And so you're bringing guilt upon the land itself and exile and gullus upon its inhabitants. Finally, at the end of the parsha, we read about the end of the Benos Slafchad story that we began last week. And whereas Benos Slafchad were promised last week a portion in the land of Israel, the Bnei Yosef were worried that there was going to be bald patches and loss of land when the Benos Slafchad were going to marry if they married outside of their tribe. And once again, the Torah says, as it had said by Benos Slafchad, Cain, Matei b'nei Yosef dover him. The people of b'nei Yosef are correct in the way they speak. And the Arachayim HaKadosh points out that similar to b'nei Slavchad, the Torah again uses that word Cain. Why? The Arachayim HaKadosh explains that the intent here is to honor b'nei Yosef, as by b'nei Slavchad, because they spoke a truth. And the point of these words from Hashem to Moshe was to specifically honor b'nei Yosef for being able to assess truth. Rav Gifter Zatzal added how important it is to honor and value those who uncover the truth in the Torah. Being Torah true is an important value to the point that Hashem literally adds to the Torah by speaking to Moshe to highlight Cain. Yes, these people were correct, because seeking and finding truth in the Torah is an important endeavor, and it helps us find truth in Hashem himself, who is, of course, Kulo Emes. In the Haftorah, the second of the three Haftorahs of Poranios, we read the pasuk Kishtaimer Osa Asami. Yirmiyahu laments that my nation did two bad things to me. They left me Makor Mayim Chaim Es Hashem. So the Halshech asks what the two evils were. That's this only one that's enumerated in the pasuk. And so he answers that when a person cuts off the source of water, not only do we lose the water there and in the water system served by it, we also tend to look for other systems to replace the lost water, which will eventually turn out to be ineffective and run out to who? And similarly, says the Alshech, when we leave Hashem and then we replace his effect on our need for spiritual purpose by adding in foreign elements, we have indeed created two separate issues. We left a path that was positive and fulfilling, and replaced it with a path that's underwhelming, wasteful, and limited. And so that's what Yirmiyahu later refers to as the double sin that needs the double nachama that we speak about when we say nachamu, nachamu ami. In our lives, we have sometimes wasted spiritual endeavors on sources that haven't been ideal. Nachamu, nachamu ami, by picking up on it, we will get to the Yom Shekulo Shabbos U'Menucha, a Shabbat Shalom, Shum'ah.